shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. May God add a blessing to those hearers and doers of his word. Amen. The grass withered and the flower faded away, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Amen. Amen. As we have in these last several weeks talked about focusing and following God, I want to continue by giving you this title, Follow Jesus. And subtitle is How to Be a Real Christian. Amen. How to be a real Christian. Many, many definitions of Christians today can vary. It's kind of like the dictionary. It changes with the generations. If you look at a new dictionary, they have new words in there that was not in Noah Webster's 1850, 1860 dictionary. Wasn't in that. And they added words because people and their culture and their language change. Now, Christianity should not be that way. We should not change the meaning of what a real Christian is because we want it to fit our life. We want it to fit into what we want to allow ourselves to do. Amen? The word Christian, it means to be Christ-like, simplest meaning. But what it really means is the Christ ones. Amen? In other words, the anointed ones. So when you hear people always say, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm, he's talking about you that are anointed, those who are following after Christ. Amen. Even in Romans chapter 8, when it talks about not being condemned and not allowing anything to condemn you, the devil, your mind, the world, whatever, he's talking to those people who are not walking after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen. And so being a real Christian, it does take some work. We sometimes tell people, you know, as long as you have a belief, but then if you don't live what you believe, then why you even say that you're a Christian? Amen here. Maybe it'll be quiet like this all this message, but that's fine. But when we talk about being a Christian, when we talk about Christianity, it's basically a culture thing now. You have, for instance, right now you have a lot of people in the Arab countries, and they are claiming that they are really true Muslims or true people of Islam. And they are saying that, and they're killing people and other people who are of Islam. They're killing them and Christians and whoever else, and they're doing it in the name of Islam. And every true Muslim know that you can't, or you're not supposed to kill another person of the same faith. All right? So what I'm saying is that they grew up in a culture, Islamic culture, but they're not truly Islamic. So even in America today, we have gotten to a place where we are culture Christians, but Christianity hadn't really, the real Christianity hadn't really become our culture. Because Christianity is a community. It is a community of people who look after each other. It's a community of people who say, I am my brother's keeper. It's a community of people who have all things coming. If I got it, you got it. It's a community like I remember when I reflect back on my forefathers, my grandfather and my grandmother, and how when they would, you know, they may not have had all the money and stuff that we got, but if they had a couple of hogs and they killed one, everybody in the community got a part of something off that hog. And all things was common. If somebody else had a garden, they would harvest the garden, and they would take whatever they had, and they said, go take this up the road to so-and-so. And they would give, and the person didn't have to ask for it. We'll get mad. If somebody asks us for something, what you did with your money? We get an attitude real quick. Now, I work too hard to be throwing my stuff away. And you better not let me see you in Walmart after I gave you some money. Don't have nothing in that buggy. Better be food. Amen. But Christianity nowadays is not the same. It's not the same. It's a name it and claim it, call it and haul it, blab it and grab it community. We believe that we can just call something and it'll come. You know what? You don't really have to call it. Read Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and these things shall be added." The stuff that we're concerned about, that we worry about, that we think about, that we vision ourselves having, he said those things can come to your life if you just seek God. Amen. So I want you to know on this first Sunday of 2015 that you don't have to blab it and grab it. You don't have to call it and haul it. You don't even have to name it and claim it. Because God already has it in store. It's in store for you. Amen. But we have to keep walking the walk. As long as I keep down the trail, as long as I stay on the road, as long as I'm in the right path, then all these things will happen in my life. Amen. David was anointed king. He was anointed king by Samuel. But David ran from Saul. David had encounters and where the enemy attacked. He had a whole lot of stuff happen. He was anointed 3 times before he could really take the throne. But do you think that David had to say, "Lord, make me a king"? No. God said, "Your experiences are making you what I want you to be, so that when you get there, you know how to be humble. When you get there, you remember the man, the small man. You remember the people along the way that you met in the wilderness, the people that you met along the way in the cave. You'll be able to help them." While David was helping them, God was making him a king. So look at your experiences, the things that you go through. What is God making you today? Oh, Lord, have mercy. But look at this. Chapter 16 is very interesting because it starts out with Jesus and the Pharisees, and they are seeking after a sign. They want a sign to prove that he's who he said he is. And Jesus said, "You won't get a sign." He said, "Evil and adulterous generation, they seek after a sign." We need to stop looking for a sign. There's no more sign. The only sign that we're going to get is the sign that Jesus rose from the dead. Amen. Now, you need to believe that he tells Thomas when he rose, he says that blessed is they that have believed and not seen. Even though I haven't seen it, I believe it with all my heart. Amen. And so when we start looking at it, he says to them, he says, you wicked and adulterous, you look for a sign, not because you believe, but you're looking for a sign so you have something to talk about. Yeah. Amen. And so he goes on to tell the disciples, he said, beware of the leaven of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. He goes on to talk to them about that. He talks to them about a few other things. And then he talks to them up to the place of Caesarea Philippi. And this is a place I visited, and it's a very unique place. And he asks Peter, he asks all of them, he says, "Who do men say that I am?" And he says, "Some say that you're John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elias or this other prophet," basically Jeremiah and other people like that. That's what they begin to say. And so he was at Caesarea Philippi, and remains of actually where he was is still there. And they have all these gods of the pantheon. They have the gates of hell, which is a cave that looks like you're going to hell if you go through the cave. Amen. And there was a very evil place because they sacrificed young virgin girls. And if she was ever to resurrect, that means the God was pleased. Amen. So they kept on sacrificing and kept on sacrificing. But Jesus was there to let them know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against what I'm trying to build here. The church, the gates of hell will not prevail against you. Amen. And then he gave them the keys of the kingdom. And you know, let me put this in. What's unique about Philippi or Caesarea Philippi is that that is the beginning of where the Jordan River begins. 4 rivers begin there. And what it is just the snow that's melting off the mountain that comes down like a little stream. The water's clear and ice cold. And it comes like a little stream and it makes the Jordan River. And so what Jesus did, he took them back to the beginning and showed them just how small this is. See how small the stream is, but then it's a part of life, a river of life, not only for Israel, but for Jordan and all these other countries that are around there. And the Jordan is so small, but it is the only thing that feeds the Sea of Galilee, which is really huge. So what God is showing us in this, he says the gates of hell won't prevail. I don't care if hell's gate is right here at your beginning. I don't care if the evil one is right at the beginning of your life. You need to know if as long as you just keep flowing in me, then you got greater things ahead of you. Amen. And then he tells him, I give you the keys of the kingdom. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose in earth shall be loosed in heaven. And he goes on to talk about that. And he lets them know that I'm giving you these. And Peter, and he begins to talk to him about he's going to die. And Peter begins to rebuke him. And he tells Peter, he says, get thee behind me, Satan. He said, you really seek after the things that are of man and not of God. Every time we go through something, you got to remember, God is still in control. Every time we go through something, sometimes it's sent by God and it's not the devil. Come on and say amen. But even if I'm about to go through a trial or some tribulation, I need you to know that I'm still in control as God is what God is saying. He needs you to know that these things don't all come from the devil. And the devil even has to ask permission from God to do whatever he wants to do in your life. He went in the book of Job. The Bible says that Satan came among the children of God, the sons of God that went to present themselves. And he was there and God read his heart. You know God knows what the devil thinking? And if he knows what the devil thinking, then guess what? The devil can't surprise God and neither should he be able to surprise you if you're in tune with God. Help me, Holy Ghost. And so since God looked at the devil's heart and said, have you considered my servant Job? Then the devil fessed up and said, I've been by his house. I can't get in. You got a hedge around him. I look to see if I can do something, but I can't because of you. No, that's how your life is, that if the devil could kill you, he would. Since he can't, you're here. You ought to give God praise for that. We give him too much credit. His object is to steal, kill, and to destroy. But guess what? He's out to get people who might get away from what God wants them to be. But guess what? God has said, even if you get away, I'm a shepherd, and I got a staff, and I can pull you back in the fold and protect you from the wolf, protect you from the lion, the roaring lion who's seeking whom he may devour. Amen. Hallelujah. But Jesus rebuked Peter and said, I don't want you to just think upon things for mankind, but I want you to think of the things that belongs to the will of God. We need to begin to think about the will of God. Whenever we do something, is this the will of God? What is it God want me to do here? What is it that God wants me to learn here? We need to begin to think about God. And you know, if we begin to do that, then you know what? We'll forget about what the devil is doing because he can't do us nothing. You know what? The Bible says that Jesus, he says that he's taken away the sting out of death. Basically, that roaring lion that you hear, the devil is a roaring lion, but he don't have any teeth now because Jesus has just become his orthodontist and pulled every tooth that he could hurt you with. The most he can do is gum you because you have victory in this life. Through Jesus. Come on and say amen here. The Bible says in verse 24, let me get to it because I think y'all getting bored with me now. He says, after he told them, he rebuked Peter and he told him, he says, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. In other words, you're trying to trip me up. You're trying to trip me, amen. You're trying to get me to thinking on something else when I'm trying to keep my mind on the will of God. He says that, for thou savorest. In other words, that word savorest, it means that you really thinking on those things that are of men. You're really focused on the stuff that are not of God, but those things that are of men. And so in our life, we got to remember not to continue to think on the things that are of God, but we need to start thinking above that. Think on the high things. Think above that to the things that belong to God. Amen? Verse 24, look at this. He says, and then said Jesus unto his disciples. We see here that Jesus is talking to his disciples. And you know what? He lets his disciples know stuff that he don't let ordinary people know. I'm trying to give you a hint there. If you want to know something special, you want to know something secret from God, you want to know what God's thoughts are, you want to know what his will is, you want him to share something with you like he's not sharing with everybody else, then you must become a disciple of his. In other words, you got to become a disciplined learner. I'm ever learning about God. I'm ever understanding about God. I'm always understanding something new about him. He's always revealing himself to me. I would not have known that he was a provider if I didn't have a need, preacher. I never would have known that he was a healer if I never got sick. I never would have known that he would be there with me if I never got to the place where I was alone, where I had no friends. I would have never known he was a friend sticking closer than any brother if all the people wouldn't have left me alone and he came in by my side. Oh, come on and say amen here. We need to realize that God will talk to his disciples, but are you willing to learn and become a disciple of the Oh, hallelujah. Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The first thing that you need to understand is that you have to seek him. You have to seek him. And he says that if any man come after me, in other words, you're seeking him, you're coming after him. And when you seek him, we must seek him with total commitment. We must seek him with total commitment, not a partial commitment. I'm committed to him on Sunday, and I'm not committed to Monday through Saturday. I'm committed to him a few hours of the day. I need to have total commitment to him. Come on and say amen. And when I have total commitment, I understand who he is. Hebrews 11 and 6 says that, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want to please him, so I got to have faith in it. He says, but he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You must believe that God will bless you. You must believe that God will reward you for looking for him. And look at this. He says, Jesus turns around and tells us in Matthew 6, he says, if you knock, the door shall be opened. Seek, you shall find. Ask, and it shall be given. He's telling you, I'm rewarding you if you would just come to me. If you would just seek after me, I'm going to give you something for just looking. For just looking. He didn't say for just, he said do everything right. He said just look. Just look. Just, where is he? I'm looking for him. You know how it is when you go in a place, it's a crowded place, and you're looking for that one person. You don't see nobody else. I'm looking at, and people say, hey, you know, I do that all the time. I go look for somebody, and I got my mind focused on who I'm looking for, and everybody trying to speak, hey, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? All right, I'm looking for somebody. Hold on a minute. And I put my focus back on what I'm coming to do, and what we have to do is there are some people, there are some demonic forces, there are some tricks of the devil that's saying, hey, and you need to be looking for him. Oh, come on and say, man, we need to start looking. And if you look, he said he will reward you just for looking. Oh, Lord have mercy. Seek him. Seek him. Now, when we seek him, we must first make sure that it's intentional. Somebody say that, well, I was doing something bad, and then the Lord caught my attention, and then I started doing right. No, I want to be intentional. I don't want to have no tragedy to happen for me to serve you, Lord. Lord, you don't have to do nothing to me for me to get my attention, but you already got it. You don't have to whoop me down. You know how they say, boy, the Lord whooping him. No, Lord, you don't have to. You got my attention. I want it to be intentional. Not only does seek have to be intentional, but it have to be volitional. In other words, it's by my own volition. I choose him. I choose to worship him. The difference between us and the angels is that we have a choice. They have no choice. Come on and say amen. The angels that say holy, 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 they don't have any other language. They don't have any other words. That's the only thing they can say. If they get thirsty, they got to say holy. If they feel like going to sleep, they still saying holy. They can't say anything else. But here we are, children, people who God has created. God has given us a choice that we can choose him. That's why it's sweeter for us to worship him than the angels, because they're made to worship. But we are here, and we have an opportunity to choose him and say, Lord, I really want to worship you. And that's why we have a song that the angels can't sing, because they've never been lost. They've never had to choose. Oh, come on and say amen. They've never had to, because God has given them, look, you do either what I say or you don't. And here we are. We can choose today to worship him, and tomorrow we don't know if we want to, but then he still loves us. He's still patient with us. He's still good to us. Seek. Second thing we have to understand is that you have to become selfless. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. The word deny in the Greek is aparsathio, which means to disown. It means to renounce. It means to reject. It means to refuse. It means to restrain. Or basically, to simply say no. Mm-hmm. It means that it's more than just giving up something. Because we say we giving up this. I'm giving up cussing. I'm giving up lying. I'm giving up gossip. I'm giving up certain type of food. I'm giving up something. It's more than that. It means to act positively and to say yes to Christ and no to self. In other words, it's to let Christ completely rule you. It's not just saying you're my Savior, but you're my Lord. Oh, hallelujah. So we need to become selfless and say no to self. When I would do, I got to do something different. Oh, come on and say amen. We need to know something, though. You got to remember what Paul said. Paul said, when I think to do good, evil is present. But I tell evil no, and I do what God wants me to do. Oh, come on and say amen here. We have to understand, in order for us to come after him, we have to deny ourselves. And sometimes denying yourself means that you got to sometimes do what you wouldn't normally do. Now, I had somebody tell me, how you know when God, I was in the service one day and it looked like I just wanted to give. I wanted to give. I never gave $100 in the service, and I knew that wasn't God. That was the devil, because I was going to be broke the rest of the week. I said, you know what? That was God. You know how I know? Because God told you to do something you would not absolutely do on your own. And so that's how you know when God is talking to you, is when you know this ain't me. I know I wouldn't do this myself. I wouldn't speak to them. They lied on me. I wouldn't speak to them. God, you say pay for their grocery? No way. And I know they talked about me. I've been there. Oh, hallelujah. I know what they said, and you said pay for their gross. God, help me today. But you know that God will cause you to do stuff that you wouldn't normally think that you should do. You think that in your flesh it's right for you to get up by them and tell them off. If they talked about you, you know, show them up. You know, I got $600 bills right here. I could pay for it, but I ain't. You know, you show them up. That's what you would do in self. But God said, no, you help them. You do something for them. And you know that's God. When God tell you to pray for them, and don't pray a bad prayer, that God whoop them. When he say pray that they get saved, pray that their children are saved. Come on and say hallelujah. Be selfless. Don't be selfish. When you're selfish, you can't see nothing but you. You start wondering why, and woe is me, why is me, woe is me, how is me, why they do me. You start being selfish, start looking at yourself in everything. And if people don't do what you want them to do, and they don't act like you want them to act, then you're upset. Then they ruin your life. They ruin your day. You point at everybody else because of what's wrong. Well, let's look for God, and he can make what's wrong right. And stop being selfish. Oh, hallelujah. My four and no more. Hallelujah. But we need to stop being selfish and be selfless. We have to have selflessness if we're going to come after Jesus. If we're going to follow him and become a real Christian, we have to learn to have selflessness. Amen. Jesus said to us that if we're going to follow him, we have to learn how to turn the other cheek. Now, we got preachers that don't preach that. But I preach turn the other cheek, because Jesus preached turn the other cheek. Oh, come on and say amen. One guy asked me, what if you run out of cheeks, preacher? I say, turn the same ones around and try the other ones. You know, just keep turning them until you just can't. Just keep turning them. Oh, come on and say amen. We got to turn up. He said, give water to your enemy when he's thirsty. Bread to him when he's hungry. That's what Jesus said. That's real Christianity. To visit the fatherless, to help the widow, the orphan. Come on and say hallelujah. Become selfless by doing these works and actually doing these acts. You begin to feel good about yourself. You start feeling like I really found my purpose because now I'm helping somebody. And when you see people help and when you see them advance, you start getting addicted to their advancement. You start saying, man, I want to help somebody else. Who else can I help? And guess what? You'll find out that there are some people that you just can't help, but you try anyway and you just move on, try the next person. You don't get mad that I haven't been burned before. No, everybody has been burned. So what? You need to go to the burn unit. Get yourself together. Let God get you right and go right back at it again. You stop cooking because the fire burned you? Do you stop ironing because you stuck your hand to the iron? Come on and say amen here. No, you've been burned before. Don't act like you hadn't. Go back and do it again. Help me today, y'all.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Thank you. Not only are we to be selfless, look at this. He says for us to take up our cross, we have to suffer sometimes. My God, we have to suffer sometimes. Now let me back up just a bit when he says, I'm going to go forward. Let me just go forward with it. He says, take up your cross, take up his cross and what? Follow me. We have to suffer sometimes. The cross is a symbol of suffering. It is a symbol of facing death. You may face death. Come on and say amen. But he says for you to take it up anyway. He says that your willingness to take it up. Now, who knows what God is going to do? But your willingness to take it up proves that you're willing to go through whatever it takes to be like him. And the reason you take up your cross is because he took up his cross to be like him. Now, he says, and follow me. The word follow is akoulotheo in the Greek. And what that word means, it means to follow or to be a companion of, to be a disciple. It is the idea of seeking to be in union with somebody or be in likeness of somebody. Mm-hmm. It means to seek just to be like him. That's all I want to do is be like him. It is an active commitment and an active walk. It is an energy and effort. It is an action to work to be like him. In other words, it is going after him with zeal and energy. Oh, hallelujah. It is going after him. We need to go after him. We need to chase after him, try to be like him. Some people's goal in life is to become something. But my goal in life is to become Christ. Oh, I wish I had somebody. That's what Paul said. Paul said to live is, that's Galatians 2:20. To live is Christ. Come on and say amen. It's no longer the life I live. The life I live is mine, but Christ what? In me. So to live is Christ and to what? Die is gain. So either way, if I live like Christ here and I die living like Christ, I gain something. But if I don't live like Christ here and I die, I lose something. Come on and say amen. Oh, hallelujah. I gain eternal life. I gain heavens. I gain becoming a Lord because he become Lord of Lord. I gain becoming a king because he's the king of kings. Oh, come on and say amen. But if I don't live like him, then I find myself in a place that I don't want to be in. Oh, come on and say amen. Oh, so we ought to suffer. And when we suffer, the Bible tells us in Romans, the 8th chapter, that we are the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that which shall be revealed in us. And what are you saying, preacher? I always say this, that this means that the suffering that I go through, it's not even worth mentioning in the same sentence or paragraph of what God is going to do in my life. I know God's got something great for me, so I'm not going to keep complaining about my suffering and what I've been through and how bad it's been. What I'm going to do is tell you that I'm still here in spite of whatever it is. What I'm going to tell you is I'm forgetting those things which are behind. I'm reaching forth to what's before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high call in Christ Jesus. Am I born warn you today, we need to press toward the mark. We need to do all we can to get to what God wants us to be, to have the thing that God wants us to have. What do he really want us to have? He wants us to have Christ in our heart so we can have eternal life, so that when he looks at us, he don't look at us and say, you know, you are that liar.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Canty, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30.